very brief message, which I think is relevant to life. You know, no one has ever figured out how to live without food.
Without food?
Yeah. And for that reason, people put such a special emphasis on parnosa. You have to make money. Because if you don't make money, you can't buy food. Most food is not free. Even if you have a farm, you have to work for it. So that's why people are concerned about their livelihood, as they call it. In fact, they even call it making a living. One of the reasons that it's making a living is because if you have the money, you earn money, you can buy food, and you can live. You need a place to live also. There are other critical things. In weather like this, you need clothing as well. You know, otherwise, you're really going to be in rough shape. So it's very important. In this parsha, Parsha's B'Shalach, we find the formula for livelihood, for parnosa, for food. What is it? It's the man. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they entered the Midbar, they didn't really have much with them to eat. They needed food on a daily basis. Desert conditions are not very conducive to, you know, growth of all kinds of fruits and vegetables. And they had to survive. Well, survive they did in a very strange way. Every day, they opened the door to their house and they saw mon. Strange, they never saw it before. They didn't know what it was exactly. But it was food that nourished, that tasted however you wanted it to taste, like your favorite food tasted. And it was just enough. If you took in more than you're supposed to take, I don't know how they did that exactly. Because maybe, well, the Gemara says actually it didn't always come to the doorstep. It said if they were deserving, it came right to the house. If they were a little bit less deserving, they had to go out a little bit to collect. And if they were really in bad shape, they had to go way out to collect. Because there's three different psukim that describe the getting of the mon. So I guess at some point, though, if you took more, you just got the same amount. Everybody got his amount, that which he needed. And came Erev Shabbos, lechem yomayim beyom hashishi. Double portion, so there should be enough for Friday and enough for Shabbos. And this is the way they lived. 40 years in the Midbar. 40 years in the Midbar every single day. Mon, twice on Friday. There was a tremendous lesson. They took at the end of the period of the mon, they took a jar, and they put the mon in the jar, some of the mon, and they saved it. Took it with them into Eretz Yisrael. And this Tzinzenes HaMon, as it was called, was kept as a sign to Bnei Yisrael that Hashem sustains us miraculously, and we rely on Him for our sustenance. And Rashi brings later on in Ba'al Yisko, I think, that when the Klal Yisrael at a later date was not learning so well, they weren't involved in learning to the fullest extent, so the Novi Yirmiyah brings out the Tzinzenes HaMon and he says to them, Bozenis parnasu aviseichem bamidbor aboim shono. With this mon, your ancestors survived in the Midbar for 40 years. Why aren't you learning? Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And someone once asked a question. Said, if I was there, I would have said, Yirmiyah, Give us mon and we'll also learn. We're busy. We have to work. We don't have mon. We do this, we do that, and we get very involved in what we're doing. And the problems of life don't allow us to focus on our learning the way we should. Give us mon and we'll also do it. And the answer to that that he gave was very interesting. He says, the lesson was that we do get mon. That the parnosa that we get is min ha-shamayim. That Hashem sustains everyone according to his needs. That everybody gets individually his portion, what he's supposed to get. And we have to have the confidence in Hashem that he sustains us, just as he sustained the Dor HaMidbar with the Mon. And we have to learn and be inspired to trust Hashem to sustain us, just as they miraculously lived for 40 years. That's really the lesson of the mon. The lesson of the mon teaches us, in fact, you know, we make a brocha when we eat, we eat amitzi, a desayas lechem, we make a brocha, hazones ha'olam kulay b'tuvay b'chein b'chesed u'rachem. But Hashem sustains his world with kindness and with mercy, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that instituted the nusach for that brocha. Why? As a brocha on the mon. That was the brocha, the Hazones HaKul, that first brocha that we made in Birchas HaMozon, that was the brocha that they made for the mon. And the lesson is very simple. We also have mon. Do you think that Parnosa comes by accident? Do you think there are people that are very qualified and they can't even find a job? There are people that are so unqualified and yet they're rolling in the money. It has nothing to do with anything. It's all min ha-shamayim. The mon that we got min ha-shamayim is a lesson to teach us that all of our sustenance comes from Hashem min ha-shamayim. And I'd like to share with you just one little story. Something that happened many years ago, and I think it graphically depicts this lesson. We lived in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles for many years. We had a yeshiva there. And it was one morning, and the next day was the payroll for the Rebbeim. The payroll was supposed to be due, and one of the Rebbeim asks me, and I remember exactly how he said it, "No! You think you're going to have money for the Rebbeim's payroll tomorrow?" So I said to him as follows. Maybe it was a little harsh, but I said like this. But he was a ben Torah, and he was a very chosh of a person. I thought that he could appreciate this. I said to him, "I don't understand you. Hashem is the Zonu Mefarnes. Hashem gives a person his parnosa. So it's like this. If you're supposed to get your parnosa, if you're supposed to get your check, you'll get it whether I have money or not. And if you're not supposed to get it, it makes no difference whether I have money. So what are you asking me if I'll have money for the Rebbeim's payroll?" That's not the right question. You got it wrong. If you're supposed to have, you'll have. And if not, not. So don't ask me if I'm going to have. Maybe it was a little too harsh, but I understood these things. And I meant it sincerely. The next day came. I didn't have money for the Rebbeim's payroll. $8,500. Didn't happen. However, that morning, after 6 months of begging and asking and trying to convince the lawyer for the estate, we had inherited an estate where we were selling off some of the stuff that this person used to sell, some nylon webbing, and we inherited that estate. And there was mail that was coming to the lawyer's address. He was like the executor for the estate. And I used to ask him, "Please bring in the mail, bring in the mail." He says, "No, it's only junk mail. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. It's stupid stuff." Finally, that morning, I gave up already asking. His wife comes in with a big cardboard box full of the mail for 6 months' worth of mail. I looked through very quickly. I knew how to smell a check in an envelope, you know. And sure enough, I found the check for $1,000. It's dated 6 months before. It was payment for some of the stuff that we had sent out to this company, and they paid us for it. I couldn't find anything else, so I gave it to the bookkeeper, and I said, "Do me a favor, look through the rest, just in case. I don't think there's anything else." I come back after my shiur, and she tells me, she says, there was another check there for $7,500. Also, payment of stuff that we had shipped out, and they sent it back to us. 75, is anybody good in arithmetic here? 75. And one is 1,000, 7,500, and 1,000 is 8,500. And the payroll was 8,500. So I gave out, deposited the checks, gave out the payroll. The next morning, I was a little bit concerned because I noticed that these checks were 6 months old, and I was afraid maybe they had canceled them because we hadn't deposited them for 6 months. You know, they had come like 6 months before. So I tell the bookkeeper, call up these two companies and tell them that we deposited the checks. There shouldn't be any problem. She calls up and she says, no way, what happened? We had shipped them this material that we had. They had sent us checks to the official address, which was by this lawyer. We never received those checks. We called the companies and said we never received payment. They canceled those checks, and they sent us other checks. We didn't know what we were doing. We just inherited this business, you know. We didn't have. Anyway, so those checks were no good. What happened, though? The bank paid, used to pay. Some banks pay. For us, they used to do that. They pay on a check even though they didn't collect it. In other words, it takes a couple of days till they get today. It goes on computers much faster. But those days, they used to send checks in the mail. It takes a couple of days. So the bank paid out. Everybody got their check. And that Friday night, it was a Friday, I think. There was a Thursday that this happened. On a Friday, I'm benching. I said, that's exactly what I told this guy. I said, if you're supposed to get your check, you'll get it whether I have money or not. And if you're not supposed to get it, doesn't matter whether I have money. They were supposed to get it. I didn't have the money. I thought I had the money. And they got it. That's the way it goes. Now, what happened was very interesting. The $1,000 came back, and I had to make it in 2-3 days. The $7,500 went back and forth between our bank and bank in Seattle for 2 months. Until January 15th, I remember, when they finally called, hey, remember that check that's been bouncing back and forth? It's no good. We had to make good on it. But look at that. It's exactly what I told the guy. You're asking me if I have money for the Rebbeim's payroll? It has nothing to do with me. If they're supposed to get, they'll get it whether I have or not. And if they're not supposed to get, it makes no difference whether I have. They were supposed to get. I didn't have. I thought I had. And they got. I think the lesson is very, very powerful. But really very simple. And that lesson is Hashem, just as he delivered mon to each family individually, just the right amount and an extra portion for Shabbos. From that, we're supposed to learn that that's the way he takes care of us, and that's the way he takes care of our parnos. And everything is an individual gift from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. It depends on what we are zeiche to, what we need, what we earn, what we deserve, but it's all a matnas halikim. And I have to tell you, the sooner that we recognize in life that everything comes from Hashem, the easier our life is going to be. Because where do you think stress and tension about parnosa comes from? Which, by the way, is one of the most serious problems that people have. Stress is one of the, probably the number one killer in the world. Where does it come from? It comes from, I'm worried. I don't know. I don't have. What's going to be? I get this, I get that, I can't afford, I can't get a job. I can't. It comes from Hashem. And when I realize that, and when I internalize that, and when I just don't, what's the word? I just don't parrot it, but I feel it, I know it, and I feel it in my heart. It creates such a state of tranquility, of peace of mind, of no worry, nothing to worry about, because Hashem takes care of everything. I think that as long as we should leave it at that. And when we read this Shabbos, the Parshas Hamon, should recognize and realize that everything comes from Hashem, and it should calm us down, reduce any stress or nervousness we have, and just focus us on Hashem, to ask, to rely, to sometimes even beg. But that's where it comes from. It doesn't come from any place else. The same mon that they lived on for 40 years in the Midbar is the same parnosa that sustains us throughout every day of our life.